If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter, the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. And a food of on three, sign up today for just $1. And I'm not the only person there, also there, usually, and going to be there more often, he says, starting next week, maybe doing an every week Ask Me Anything, is Mr. Bradley Sowell, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, eight-year NFL vet. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, trying to make a little dollar today on a good work day Friday.
Good work day Friday. Tell the folks where you're working, where you're sitting at. Go ahead and get your plugs in, because that's going to, like, we get you doing Ask Me Anything, you know, on the Ole Miss Spirit on three.
That's right,
every
baby.
Single week it'll be called
Town and Country Homes of Meridian. Ask Me Anything. We have the November to Remember red tag sale going on right now. So huge discounts. Come see me.
Oh, man, hearing Brad flip the switch from football to salesman, this is my first experience. I kind of dig it. Ole Miss and Oklahoma this weekend is one of the primetime matchups of week nine. Ole Miss is now number 8 in the country after losing to Georgia last week. Again, at number 13 are the Oklahoma Sooners. What's your breakdown real quick as we get started here of the big-time matchup? You're on Dari Noka's show. Dari does not only SEC Network stuff, but he has an Oklahoma radio show, and Brad was featured on that. So if you go search for that wherever you listen to podcasts or radio, this, yeah. That, the other, what's the breakdown of the matchup for you?
Oh, man. Okay, so this one, this is a big game for Ole Miss. You know, I think last week's game, I'm being honest, we'll step back to that one. Not mad at the result. You know, I would love to win that ball game. I think we should have won that ball game, but I think the play and the chance to win that ball game was right there on 4th and 1. That play gets made. I think Ole Miss wins. Hey, you lost your chance to win, but you went down there and proved you're a top 10 team and fought your butt off. And what would make that game basically irrelevant is if you win this game. And what you got to do to win this game, man, it's a game. I think you and I talked about this earlier. It's a game of strength on strength and then weakness on weakness, right? Like Ole Miss's offense, you know, ranked 8th. OU's defense ranked number 1 in the country statistically. So those two are going to go head-to-head, battle it out. It's going to be a great battle. But which is the OU offense going to show up, or is the Ole Miss defense going to show up? That's going to be the difference. If Ole Miss defense can stop them, I think we'll be fine. I think we can win this ball game. I don't think this is a Georgia talent level team. I don't know what OU is yet. You know, they played. I think Michigan was a good game. The only team they played that was really an SEC talented type roster. You know, they kind of got after them. Texas got after them. So. I just think it's going to be a battle of an Ole Miss defense can show up. I mean, I would think they would be pissed and want to have a better week, you know, 100%, but we'll see. You know, yeah, I think that the biggest challenge we're going to have to deal with is being on the road, 11 a.m. SEC game. It's going to be a hostile environment. Their defense is going to be flying around. Can we take care of the ball? Can we run the ball? And can we survive that wave? Last week, outstanding job. Could not have been more prepared to come in and shut a crowd up and really do exactly what we said that they had to do. Just didn't make the plays at the end to win. But I'm not mad at that result. I think that game's on neutral site. Ole Miss wins 100%. I think Ole Miss wins if it's on a neutral site. So just this big game. I mean, this is one. If Ole Miss wins this game, Georgia don't even matter. We're straight up on the path to 11-1 playoff team. So, but you got to go on there and do it. Got to go on there and take care of business.
Can Ole Miss make the college football playoff without beating Oklahoma this weekend? I think that's the big topic of discussion for a lot of Ole Miss fans outside of the Lane Kiffin stuff, of course. But can they make the playoff without winning this game? Because if you look at it for me, I don't think so.
I do. I think they can. I think the reason being is because it's a little earlier in the season. So you're going to have – what'll happen is if you lost this game, you'd probably drop down to 15, 16, somewhere in there. And then I think from there, it's just a battle of everybody else losing in front of you. So, you know, I think you just have to win out at that point. And by the time you get to the end of the year, I would think you're going to be inside the top 12, you know, inside the top 10. So 10-2 should get you in, you know, a road. It also depends on what it looks like, right? OU beat you in a walk-off field goal, and they're 11-1 at the end of the year, and Georgia's 11-1. You really going to get on to Ole Miss for losing two close playoff games? It's all going to depend on how those teams finish up. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, for Oklahoma, look at their schedule. Oklahoma could be a 7-5 team if they're not careful. I mean, they go to Tennessee, they go to, they go to Alabama. Like, they lose this one. So, and the reason I mention that is if you're a coach, you're thinking that in your head, you damn sure better win this home game versus Ole Miss, or it could get ugly quick. Then I think the other two games are Missouri and one other. It's all ranked teams for them on here on out. So, my point being, they're going to be pretty fired up to win this game. Hopefully, we can match that energy and, you know, get after them.
Yeah, mostly if you're Ole Miss, that's a good point. It doesn't eliminate you, but it does take any and all decision-making, your own fate, out of your hands, right? And if you're Ole Miss, you know how that goes, especially last year when you went 9-3. 9-3, it shouldn't get you in anyway, in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. When you look at these teams and how the college football landscape is landing, I think that's a really good point. It doesn't eliminate you, but certainly it eliminates the safety net, whatever that might be. I mean, I think, you know, back-to-back losses, you have to be perfect the rest of the way, and that's a recipe potentially for disaster, I think.
Yeah, I think you're fighting that, obviously, and then you're also fighting on the flip side if you win this game. Okay, now you're playing extreme, like, hey, don't mess around and blow one. You know, don't mess around and blow one. So it's going to take unbelievable focus to get there. To win a championship, to get to the playoff level, it takes unbelievable focus, but you're always battling something, right? So Ole Miss is, you know, you go in there, you lose this one, then you know, then it's, hey, I got to win every game all out. So now you got, hey, we got to perform there. Now if you win, it's, hey, are we going to sit back and kick our feet up and think, hey, now we got this? Or, you know, you got some games lurking in front of you that if you don't show up, it could look like Washington State or worse. So it's just one of those deals, man. This is just a big game for Ole Miss. It is. It's I think it's one that you win and you look back and say, hey, great effort at Georgia. Hey, we're still right there. Everything in front of us. Have a chance to actually be probably a top six seed if you go 11-1. So, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I saw like a matchup predictor this week. It might have been On Three. I can't remember where it was from, but like if Ole Miss were to finish 10-2, 11-1, a playoff projection opening round against BYU. And I'm like, hey, man, if you want to give Ole Miss, if Ole Miss can get that path, that might not say BYU in a competitive football team, a good football team, but that's about as good a draw as you can get. And that's kind of like the stakes that are on the table for Ole Miss in Oklahoma. And the weather has been an issue a lot of people talked about all week. I know it's raining cats and dogs now in Norman, Oklahoma tomorrow. It could be okay around kickoff. John Mateer had thumb surgery. So if it's a wet football, that might be advantageous for Ole Miss, especially its defense. But really more than anything, if you think about it, like I know Lane Kiffin justifiably so, understandably, rightfully so, Brent Venables' defense has been one of the best statistically in the country, but they also haven't faced any offense, like an offense like Ole Miss yet. So for every Ole Miss fan this week that's been going, oh, well, Ole Miss hasn't faced – this is the best defense Ole Miss has faced all year. This is the best offense that Oklahoma's faced all year.
By far. Yeah. The next highest ranked is Michigan at 45 and then Temple at 72. The rest are in the hundreds. Mm. So I get it, great defense, but – let's see, prove it this week. You know, same thing with Ole Miss's offense, right? Prove it versus the number one defense. So, you know, it's going to be a great matchup. That's going to be a battle. I'm more worried about what's going to happen on the other side of the ball. Can we respond? Last week, man, I know we didn't get a chance to talk about after the game, but wow. We don't even know Georgia's punter's name. I mean, we didn't even see the punter. I mean, it's that was unbelievable. If we played even average, if we even played piss poor on defense last week, we win that game. But we didn't. We played below piss poor, and that's tough to do.
The thing that really concerns me about Ole Miss defensively is, and you knew there was going to be some of this because, again, you're replacing 20 of your all 22 from last year, and a lot of it, most of it, is on defense. You knew there was going to be a little bit of a step back. But when Pete came out in the preseason talking to Chris Beard for his fireside chat and says, I don't anticipate it much, if any, drop off, and then it plays out like this, you open yourself up for criticism. That's neither here nor there. The guy's defending and giving credit to his team and showing love for his team. But the lack of dynamicism, the lack of playmake, the lack of superstars, like, that's what really is alarming to me, because you've seen some guys emerge, Cam Franklin, William Echols, they're doing some really good things. But really, for the defense, it's about what you're not doing, be it getting turnovers, and Taryn Perkins not getting sacks when he had 10 and a half last year, going into week 9, has a goose egg on the season. The lack of dynamicism, dynamic playmaking, or doing anything at a remotely, you know, elite level, I think that's the scary thing about what Ole Miss is like, where it is defensively right now.
And after all that, Ben, I agree with you on all that. Ole Miss has got the 66th ranked defense in the country. Now, that is not good by any means.
Yeah.
But there was years where we would have begged and clawed to be there. Mm-hmm. Okay. In a rebuild year, we're still, you know, having a few good games, you can be in the top 50 in defense in the country after losing a ton of NFL guys. So we can't get too crazy over how they had a bad game. And you look at last year's defense, they had a few bad games, really bad games. You know, I think LSU was one of them. I think there was maybe Arkansas or another one where we couldn't. It was just a shootout. Maybe it wasn't Arkansas. Maybe it was another one. We had a few games last year we couldn't stop anybody either. So that's just maybe hopefully it was one of those days, right? And we come into Oklahoma. If we can get some stops, I think we're going to be fine. I can tell you one thing, and I said this earlier in the group. Anytime Lane's talking shit during the week about another team, I actually feel really good. That means he has seen something on film that I think he's confident. I think that usually means he thinks he can whoop their ass. So that made me feel good. When he started talking, when I saw the press conference him talking about the signals thing, I said, okay, Lane's watched film, and I think he feels like he can get after him a little bit. So hopefully that'll be comforting.
Yeah, it was just really funny because, like, I wasn't able to go on Monday because my podcast on Monday ran long. And so I'm going through it to do some work stuff for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Definitive on 3. I'm watching it back. I'm writing some stuff up. And I was in real time, like, watching Lane in real time do the troll. And then he does this funny thing where he hints at it, and then he just explicitly says it. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wait a second. Is he talking noise about sign stealing from Brent Venables? And I've learned this week from number of people on Twitter and Oklahoma, they're like, yeah, this is not a new thing with Brent Venables. A lot of people have accused him of this, but he starts out just kind of insinuating, and then he just comes out and says, yeah, they're stealing signs. It's a compliment. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm like you, if Lane is because the last week it was all the mutual love society with him and Kirby, right? Like, there was he wasn't going to say anything to poke the beast and this, that, and the other. But I do think there is something to that. You can tell where Lane's at least frame of mind is by his trolling during the week. And this week he was king troll. You know what I mean? Like he was doing it more than he ever does. And that's like one of the first questions I got the other day when I was doing a radio spot. They're like, do you think he really thinks this, this, and this, or how fun is he to cover? He is great to cover. That's part of the good thing to do, is like, he never gives you anything to write about. The bad part is the annual coaching rumor stuff that I'm sure you've been asked about a million times, especially since you came on this pod and stirred some Florida fans up. What do you think about Lane Kiffin rumors, and if they're a distraction or anything like that?
Still where I was, you know, last week, and I'll still be there again. Doesn't make any sense for Lane Kiffin to leave Ole Miss right now. And I don't know the guy personally. I've talked to him a few times, and just to, hey, how you doing? You got the softball game we played in. Hey, I don't know Lane at all. I don't know. I don't know anything he's thinking. I'm just telling you my point of view. My point of view is, for what? Why? You have a legacy that you're building in Oxford. You have all the resources. You have all the NIL money. You make it. Maybe Florida could pay you a million or two more. But guess what? When you get down there, you ain't freestyling like you do here. I can promise you there's a lot of hands in the pot. He's got his kids here. He looks happier than ever. He's in great shape. He just seems like a changed guy. I don't know why you leave. And I think when I was on the show with Dory Noka, he agreed with me. He was like, man, just doesn't make a, I don't know that Florida is the spot, you know? I just think he has a lot left to do at Ole Miss. I think he's got it going in a great direction. It's a great place to live. I don't see it. I really don't. It would shock me for Florida. Now, if it was some deal where, you know, he wanted to, his kids were older, gone, and he wanted to go to the NFL, do something a little less recruiting, that's probably likely scenario at some point. I just don't see it. I do not see it. I don't see a Florida being the job that takes him out of Oxford right while his kids, you know, here in school and his daughter's at home. Like, I don't see it. I just don't. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I don't think it's distracting this year like it was the year whenever he, I guess we were 7-0, whatever. I think those years, Ole Miss fans thought that he was looking to go. He wasn't quite, you know, the person that he is today. I think now, I don't think it's a distraction at all. I don't know. I don't think anybody thinks he's going or realistically thinks he's leaving. Players, anybody. I think it would be a huge shock to see him go.
It does feel like a lot of it is the media, not just media, but like fans and social media and how this stuff catches fire in Instagram and YouTube comments and this, that, and the other. It does feel like it's more of a online creation than anything real right now. And honestly, the timeline would say that's exactly what the case is. I mean, if anything, there won't be movement on Lane Kiffin for weeks. And I mean, that Florida host, almost hosting Florida in November on the third of three straight home games. Now that could be really, really just an absolute circus of just ridiculousness and things said online and on podcasts like this one. But until then, there's not much of anything to even talk about. It's not like he's going to agree to anything for anybody. He doesn't talk about this stuff in season. And I think you're right about the timeline too, because there's something to Knox is a sophomore in high school. At Oxford High, he's a starting quarterback now. Landry is a sophomore at Ole Miss. And what kept him from leaving to go to Auburn 3 years ago, which they admitted on the ESPN doc, the family component. So if Landry was graduated out and doing her thing, if Knox was, you know, committed and gone to Oregon to play for Dan Lanning, like you said, is an early favorite for him because he doesn't want to play for his dad, makes sense. Okay, you know, like especially if he hasn't made the playoff because, again, it's as if people fail to recognize, like they were recoil, Florida fans or any fans of other schools, recoil at the thought of James Franklin when, man, I think last year, and what a wasted opportunity for Ole Miss. You know, there are some legitimate criticisms of Lane, and one of those is making the college football playoff. And if he doesn't do it this year, man, I mean, there's going to be some hard evaluations and conversations he's going to have himself.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. That's just I'm not distracted by it. I don't think anybody's distracted. A couple years ago, I was extremely, you know, worried and offended by it. I really was. You know, I felt like he wanted out of here. You know, but I don't think. I mean, it was shocked the hell out of me. That's just me being honest. I don't see it from a business standpoint, from anything. I mean, unless there's something that I just don't know about him personally, which is probably his loss. I don't know about him personally. There's some kind of motivation I don't see. I don't think Florida's that. Florida right now, man. I don't see that. That's a train wreck. Would you really want to go do a full rebuild in a full new environment and leave your kids behind for a million or two more? Hell, Ole Miss can match you. Ole Miss is going to give you what Florida will give you. Like, they've proven time and time again they can pay. And I mean, I don't see it, man. He's got to run the roost in Oxford. I think what he's done for the town, the community, everything, like, man, he has a hell of a legacy going. Just going to drop it to go to Florida. What happens if you go to 6-6 2 years in a row? Or what happens if you pull a Dan Mullen? They're gone. You're done with you. And they're expecting you to carry this crazy legacy that they claim they have. And it ain't it, man. I'm telling you. It's not it. The only job that would even make me nervous right now would be an Alabama or something like that. I think that's one that would be kind of scary. But I don't think he's gone. I don't think he would leave. Not for Florida. I don't.
Well, if you're an Ole Miss fan, outside of the normal and sane reasons like wanting Ole Miss to win and make the playoff, if you're worried about this stuff in particular, I mean, yeah, that's why another reason Ole Miss Oklahoma is such a big game, because not only does it hinge on really setting you up or setting you back for the college football playoff, but if Ole Miss is in the college football playoff, it's going to be damn near impossible for Florida to wait anyway and make this a bigger mess than maybe it already is for some. So I think there's just a lot of layers to this weekend in Oklahoma for Ole Miss, not the least of which is that kind of stuff. But the biggest number one thing for me this weekend is, man, that defense is under the microscope. Pete Golding's under the microscope, and he needs to bounce back this weekend. What's your your one big thing for Ole Miss at Oklahoma this weekend? Is it the defense stuff?
I think so, but I think I don't worry about it as much because of Pete Golden. I think Pete Golden's a great coach. I think he's proven time and time again he can show up and adjust and make plays. My biggest thing is just being SEC game on the road, 11 a.m. on the road. That's my biggest thing is handling the environment. Ole Miss got the talent to beat them. You know, we just went down to Georgia, and, you know, it is what it is. They got a ton of five stars all over. Oklahoma will be somewhat similar. Ole Miss got the talent to hang with that. They've shown. I'm more worried about the environment away SEC game. I think if Ole Miss wins that game last week, this game's even tougher. But I think the fact that they lost, I think the level of focus should be pretty high right now. I can see them responding pretty well. I think this would be an epic letdown game had we beat Georgia last week. Now, I think with us losing that game, I'm hoping the mindset in the building was, hey, this one's really important, even more important. So I just see us playing well. I do. I just worry about the environment. Getting on that plane, coming down to, getting up 6:30 in the morning, not sleeping as well. I've just been in those games. Now I played in Auburn. It's brutal. They're brutal, but it's different times in Oxford now. Lane Kiffin's run the show. He does a good job. I expect them to be very prepared this week.
I will be in Oklahoma. Check out the drive home. My post game show with Brad, Logan, and guests, whoever we come up with, might just be us two, whatever happens in Norman, Ole Miss in Oklahoma at 11 a.m. Central Time on ABC. A huge game, swing game for both of those teams. He's Bradley South, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet. He'll be back with me next week here on Talk of Champions, and he says he's going to start doing an AMA on the Ole Miss Spirit message board. We got to set up the day, but I'll set it up for you. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. Make sure to sign up today, man. We'd love to have you. We're trying to cast the biggest net, have the biggest tent of an Ole Miss community for everybody to come and hang out and talk about the Rebels. So come do that with us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Our thanks to Riverland Roofing, B&A Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. Thank you, Brad. I'll see you soon on the Ole Miss Spirit.
See you, Ben. Howdy, toddy.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.